You want to live a life on fire and on mission. You want to be filled with such conviction and drive that you stop caring about what anyone thinks. You want to face each day alive, authentic, and fully present in every moment. With your wife, with your kids, on the street, at work. You want to bring yourself to the table and to stop bringing the watered-down, nice, what-everyone-wants version of you. You want that self to be a man who is burning in passion for Jesus, unafraid to bring his kingdom to anyone in your path, no matter what it costs you. You want to love the one in front of you without fear, without needing love back, and without reserve. You want to husband well. You want to father well. You want to shepherd your life well. You want to be a safe pillar for anybody around you. You want to experience God for real, to not just believe, but to know that he's got you and that he'll show up on your behalf, that he'll show up through you. You want to get to the end of your race and say, yep, I gave it everything. Jesus, you know I'm all in. And you want to know just how to get there. Welcome to Man Warrior King. I'm your host, Matt Halleck. Congratulations. You're among the violent taking the kingdom by force. You're among the chosen answering the call to rise above yourself. You're in the forge being stripped down and strengthened, and you will rise stronger, solid, unshakable. You are a man. You're a warrior. You are a king. Good morning and welcome to another episode of the Man Warrior King podcast. I'm your host, Matt Halleck. I'm the founder of the Man Warrior King movement and the author of the book, The DNA of a Man. And I'm coming at you this morning with another message on the DNA of a warrior. I've been recording several episodes on and under this theme in recent weeks, and I want to continue that trajectory this morning. So tomorrow I want to talk about the weapon of your words. A warrior knows how. This is going to be a bunch of W's in a row without really even trying. It just kind of happened. A warrior knows how to wield his words as weapons. And he also knows how to not wield his words as weapons. And I'm not talking about your normal sticks and stones break my bones, but words never hurt me kind of a thing. That's boring, and no one needs me to talk anymore about making sure that you speak nice things to each other and not hurt each other's feelings. We are so far beyond that. So be excited. But if you're going to be a warrior in life, there's no way to be one without having a weapon of some kind. And I understand that there are also times for physical displays of aggression and fighting on behalf of someone and things like that, but by and large, in your life, your primary weapon with which you can gain victory and take ground against the darkness is with your words. A warrior lives his life in complete and utter self-discipline. He understands that every decision he makes, from the biggest ones to the smallest ones, it counts. It matters for something. It's not just neutral. And scripture says that every idle word spoken is going to be called to account. We are going to have to answer for every idle word spoken. Every idle word. Your words are incredibly valuable. Even if you don't believe it, even if you don't think you are valuable, your words are. and they carry in them creative power. Just like your father's words created the entire universe as we know it, your words also create. And I see such a lack of understanding of this truth in our church culture. I hear so many people talk about, you name it, my sickness, my arthritis, my diabetes, my high blood pressure, high cholesterol, my genetic susceptibility to blah, blah, blah. The words that people use talking about the disease that they are dealing with carry more destructive power than they ever realize. Or how about speaking of certain emotional things like tending towards downness or anger, and that's just the way I am. I'm just an angry person. Or how about I'm only human? Or maybe somebody dealing with trying to pursue a certain project in their life. And then you have that, you have you have the words, I don't know if I'll ever get there. I'm not sure that I'll ever achieve this thing. It'll probably take me 5 years. How about the words, I don't have time? I don't have enough time to do that. I could never write a book. I could never get up and speak in front of somebody. How about the words, my wife is just that way. My wife doesn't like sex very much. My wife doesn't like me. My wife's angry. Those words, any of those that I've just given you, they carry inside of them the power to create the thing that they speak about. Yes, even if you're speaking over somebody else and not just yourself, your words have the power to shape that other person. Especially if you are speaking over your wife because you've been given a place of spiritual authority and covering in her life, especially if you're speaking over your children, because in a similar way, you've been given a place of spiritual authority and covering. And when we are so negligent and lazy by how we speak, that we say these negative, seemingly innocent, but secretly destructive and death-giving words over others, over ourselves, and over life situations, we are being lazy and negligent. We are giving airtime to the same narrative that Satan would have us believe about all of those things. So when we speak in a way that to most people is only natural, to most people seems normal, to most people even seems truthful, or at the very least factual, when we are speaking in that way, we are wielding our words as weapons against the heart and the desires of God. And our words are tearing down the things that we say we want to be built up. And they are building up the things that we say we wish would go away. See, if you are a warrior, and you are, then your strength and your ability to cause damage, it exists whether you are attacking the right thing or the wrong thing. There is no neutral ground. Jesus said, I wish you were hot or cold. He said, you're either for me or against me. And my friend, you're either choosing to align yourself with heaven or with hell. With every word that you speak. And I could give you case after case after case from Scripture to show you how important your words are. But I want to just focus on one of them. There's a popular verse that says the power of life and death is in the tongue. It's in Proverbs. Right before that verse, chapter 18, verse, I believe it's verse 20, talks about how you will eat the fruit of your lips and how your stomach will be full from the harvest of your words. This is not a maybe. This is a law. This is a spiritual law that exists that God is telling us about. The words that you speak will be what gives you the fruit that you eat. So, if your life doesn't look the way you want, the way that you know it should, if it doesn't reflect the kingdom of heaven, if it doesn't reflect God's heart in certain areas, I would challenge you to examine how have you been speaking. And here's the next level. How have you been thinking? Because thoughts are also words. They're just words that you haven't made audible. And it can be difficult, gentlemen, when you've been trapped, when you've been locked in a pattern for a long time. It can be difficult to get yourself to stop thinking certain things. It's possible, but it can be a challenge. Your thoughts are very squirrely and sometimes unwieldy. So God gave us a built-in tool to help us take our thoughts captive, and that is to actually speak vocally. That when you notice a thought in the vein of hell, you speak words in the vein of heaven instead. And by doing so, you retrain your brain on how to think. This is a gift that he's given us, and everybody can make the decision to speak words in alignment with his kingdom and his promises, even in the face of thoughts that keep coming that are promoting hell's agenda in your mind. So, the flip side of your words being used lazily and causing destruction, and in the words of Thomas the Train, confusion and delay, is how your words can build the reality of heaven in yourself, in your family, in your life and your circumstances. And guys, that is one of the centerpieces of the work that I do with men. It's becoming transformed by renewing your mind, and renewing your mind by declaring and prophesying over yourself things according to the heart of God. I talk about it in the DNA of a man. Not to the same extent as we're talking about here as a warrior, but it's in there. And I tell about my own personal transformation story that happened as I took my words seriously and I began to declare over my life, or prophesy over my life and over my emotions and over my ability as a husband, over my value and my worth as a man. And the transformation that happened was very significant and very quick, because there's freedom power in the Word of God. This is why we are a Word made man. Because His Word shapes us, not just by giving us things to obey. It shapes us as we agree with it and speak it out and let it do its work, just like a seed goes to work when it's planted into a ground. Peter understood the power of words. Have you ever stopped to notice when Jesus was walking out to the boat on the water? Peter challenges him. Jesus says, "Hey, don't be afraid, it's me." And Peter says something very specific and I think very intentional. And it's not just a slight, like, alternate representation of what was said. It is the thing that was said on purpose. He says, "Lord, if it's you," well, he doesn't say, "Lord, if it's you, then cause me, work a miracle and allow me to walk on the water to you and with you." He doesn't say that. To me, that would make sense to say. To me, that would be asking for proof. "Okay, Jesus, if it's you, prove it by enabling me to stand on top of the water as well." But that's not what he says. He says, "Jesus, if it's you, then prove it by giving me a command." And I'm like, well, wait. Anybody can give a command. How does that prove that it's Jesus? That seems weird, Peter. If it's you, then prove it by commanding me, by telling me to come out to you on the water. Well, any imposter could say, "Oh yeah, sure, I'm Jesus. Come on out to me. That's easy." It doesn't make sense. It seems silly. It seems kind of ridiculous unless you think about, unless you consider the significance of the command. Peter wasn't just saying, "Hey, if you tell me to do a thing, then I know it's you." He wanted the proof that it was actually Jesus, and the proof would be in his ability to walk on the water. But here's the thing that he knew. He knew that the ability to walk on the water would come through the creative power of the Word. "If it's you, then prove it by enabling me to walk on the water. And since I know that in order to walk on water, it's going to take you speaking it, then speak it. Command me to walk on the water to you, and I will." This is the power of the Word. It carries within it the ability to do the miracle. This is why Jesus rebuked fevers.
why he spoke to storms. This is why so many of his miracles were him speaking, even the water to wine. It happened when he commanded the people to do a thing. The power of words is so underestimated in the church at large today, and the word of faith movement gets a bad reputation from the more evangelical, conservative branches of the church. And it's a shame, because the power of the word, the power of your words, is evident throughout Scripture. Look at the way that the men of old blessed their children. Their blessings came to pass. They were not just nice sounding, oh, that makes me feel warm and fuzzy on the inside. A father's blessing directed the course of his child's future. The name of a child, the word that they identified by, determined their character and who they would be in their life. So I want to challenge you right now. How lazy are you being with your words? Are you speaking the things that you don't want to come to pass? Are you choosing instead to go to battle? Because, gentlemen, when you're dealing with a situation, it feels good to call it like it is, to talk about how hard it is and how bad it is and how much you have to deal with. It feels good. It doesn't scratch the same itch if you're speaking victory in life when you're feeling the pain of the struggle. This requires something of you. It requires you to step up. It requires you to man up, to warrior up, and to stop feeding the self-pity. So are you struggling with your health? Stop calling it your sickness. Stop saying if or when I hope God heals me. Start saying he has, because the scriptures say that by his wounds you were healed. They say that he already carried away your sicknesses and your diseases. Begin thanking him for the thing that hasn't happened yet as though it has. Because in Mark 11, he says, whatever you pray, believe that you've received it already, and then it will be done for you. Begin speaking as though the answer is here and has come. Yeah, you might look stupid, but you'd rather be looking stupid as a victor than look logical as a loser. Right? What about your marriage? But you don't understand. She's all this way, that way, and the other thing. And if I just talk about how good and wonderful she is all the time, she's going to just continue in her ways that aren't going to change, and they're going to keep hurting me. And I would ask you, sir, how do you know this? Because have you tried it? Okay, if by that, by those rules, do you want her to keep talking about all of your downfalls? Do you want her to never let you forget about where you failed her? Or do you want grace and mercy? Do you want forgiveness? Do you want to be treated according to your identity and not according to your failures and your flaws? I think I know the answer. So come on, gentlemen, we can do this. If you haven't yet, make sure you pick up a copy of The DNA of a Man. It's available on my website, manwarriorking.com/DNA. Also, while you're there, you can check out the coaching options. One-on-one, we've got the ranks of a doulam. That's our monthly membership. The one-on-one is Unshakable Man Coaching, where I take you from a place of defeat and discouragement, wherever you're at, in whichever area of life you are struggling in. Most, many men I work with, it has to do with marriage. A lot of men sometimes need the help with connecting with Jesus and hearing God's voice. Whatever it is, we'll get you there. So head over to manwarriorking.com, check it out. Make sure wherever you go, wherever you find me, leave a review, leave a rating. I love you. Peace.
This is Matt Halleck signing off and thanking you again for being a part of the Man Warrior King community. If you want more, head over to manwarriorking.com. And please remember to take just a couple seconds to subscribe on iTunes and to leave a 5-star rating and a review so that more and more men can join us as we become awesome. You are a kingdom man. Go out, take more ground, push back darkness. Remember, you bring value into your home, your work, and your circle. You are not a taker, you are a giver. Abundance is your atmosphere.